reading from the book of Sirach. Like a fire, there appeared the prophet Elijah, whose words were as a flaming furnace. Their staff of bread he shattered, and his zeal he reduced them to straits. By the Lord's word, he shut up the heavens, and three times brought down fire. How awesome are you, Elijah, in your wondrous deeds, whose glory is equal to yours. You brought a dead man back to life from the netherworld by the will of the Lord. You sent kings down to destruction and easily broke their power into pieces. You brought down nobles from their beds of sickness. You heard threats at Sinai, at Horeb, avenging judgments. You anointed kings who should inflict vengeance, and a prophet as your successor. You were taken aloft in a whirlwind of fire, in a chariot with fiery horses. You were destined, as it is written, in time to come, to put an end to wrath before the day of the Lord, to turn back the hearts of fathers toward their sons, and to reestablish the tribes of Jacob. Blessed is he who shall have seen you, and who falls asleep in your friendship. For we live only in our life, but after death, our name will not be such. O Elijah, enveloped in the whirlwind. Then Elisha, filled with the twofold portion of his spirit, wrought many marvels by his mere word. During his lifetime, he feared no one, nor was any man able to intimidate his will. Nothing was beyond his power. Beneath him, flesh was brought back into life. In life, he performed wonders, and after death, marvelous deeds. Verbum Domini. Rejoice in the Lord, ye just. The Lord is King, let the earth rejoice, let the many isles be glad. Clouds and darkness are round about him, justice and judgment are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes round about. His lightnings illumine the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his justice, and all peoples see his glory. All who worship graven things are put to shame, who glory in the things of naught. All gods are prostrate before him.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to his disciples, "In praying, do not babble like the pagans, who think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is how you are to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions."
Verbum Domini.
Today, the gospel reading gives us the origin of what St. Thomas Aquinas calls the most perfect of prayers, the Lord's Prayer. In the early church, Father Tertullian considers the Lord's Prayer to be the summary of the whole gospel because it contains the whole record of the Lord's instruction in one prayer. The Our Father is a prayer that is treasured by all Christians, both Catholics and non-Catholics alike, because we take this prayer as having not only the words, but also the heart and soul of our dear Savior Jesus Christ. From antiquity, the Lord's Prayer has been an integral part of the liturgy in both the Eastern and Western churches. As the Catechism teaches in paragraph 2768, according to the apostolic tradition, the Lord's Prayer is essentially rooted in liturgical prayer. And the Catechism then quotes St. John Chrysostom as saying, "The Lord teaches us to make prayer in common for all our brethren. For he did not say, 'My Father, who art in heaven,' but 'Our Father,' offering petitions for the common body." And the first Christian communities prayed the Lord's Prayer three times a day. And this practice has been preserved by those who pray the Liturgy of the Hours, the Divine Office, and who celebrate or assist at Holy Mass daily. The Catechism also gives the reason that the Lord's Prayer appears in the particular section of the liturgy that precedes Holy Communion. In paragraph 2770, it says, "In the Eucharistic liturgy, the Lord's Prayer appears as the prayer of the whole church, and there reveals its full meaning and efficacy. Placed between the anaphora, the Eucharistic prayer, and the communion, the Lord's Prayer sums up, on the one hand, all the petitions and intercessions expressed in the movement of the epiclesis, and on the other, knocks at the door of the banquet of the kingdom, which sacramental communion anticipates." So for those who are wondering, the epiclesis is the moment in the liturgy when the church acts through the priests, asking the Father to send down the Holy Spirit upon the bread and wine, that they might become the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And so the Lord's Prayer is placed at a particular moment in the Eucharistic liturgy, where it not only serves as a recap of the entire prayer of the church during the Eucharistic prayer, but also brings together the petitions and intercessions offered therein, and the reception of sacramental communion, which anticipates the heavenly banquet. And so this begs the question, what are the petitions and intercessions for which the church prays during the Eucharistic prayer? Well, in the Roman Rite, there are four ordinary Eucharistic prayers from which the priest might select on any given day. And each of these prayers contains similar petitions that echo the Lord's Prayer. The church first and foremost prays that her sacrifice, which is joined to the sacrifice of Christ, might be made holy, and that it might be offered for the glorification of God's name. We also pray for the unity of the church. For instance, the church prays in the Roman Canon, Eucharistic Prayer 1, that this sacrifice is offered firstly for your holy Catholic Church. Be pleased to grant her peace, to guard, unite, and govern her throughout the whole world. In the second Eucharistic prayer, it says, humbly we pray that partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. In the third Eucharistic prayer, it says, grant that we, who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son, and filled with his Holy Spirit, may become one body, one spirit in Christ. And then finally, the fourth Eucharistic prayer says quite beautifully, look, O Lord, upon the sacrifice which you yourself have provided for your church, and grant in your loving kindness to all who partake of this one bread and one chalice, that gathered into one body by the Holy Spirit, they may truly become a living sacrifice in Christ to the praise of your glory. Now, some of the other petitions and intercessions that can be found in the four Eucharistic prayers include prayers for the Pope, the bishops, especially the bishop of the particular diocese in which the Mass is being offered, all the clergy, those taking part in the liturgy, the congregation, the entire people of God, and even those who are not Christian but who seek the Lord with a sincere heart. We also pray for an increase in charity among Christians and for the peace and salvation of the whole world. And then finally, the four Eucharistic prayers conclude with a petition for the repose of all the souls of the faithful departed, that we will all be one day reunited with them in the heavenly kingdom with all the angels and saints. And thus, when we come to the Lord's Prayer in the liturgy, the Church has all these prayers and petitions in mind as we pray in the words Jesus taught us for the coming of the kingdom and for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We also pray for our daily bread and for the forgiveness of our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And notice that the prayer for our daily bread is directly connected with the prayer for forgiveness. The forgiveness of sins is a prerequisite for the sharing of communion between Christ and his church. And this also includes the necessity for us members of the church to forgive one another as Christ has forgiven us. It is necessary for us not only to make peace with God, but also with one another, so that we might truly share in the precious gift of communion. And Pope Francis teaches that it is for this reason that the priest first extends the peace of Christ to the congregation and then calls upon the congregation to extend the sign of peace to one another. And this sign of peace is a traditional expression of ecclesial communion and the forgiveness of sins, which thus signifies our desire for full communion with Christ and between all the members of Christ's mystical body, the Church. And then if we are not conscious of grave sin, we go forth to receive Holy Communion worthily, thus discovering the fulfillments of the Lord's Prayer in which we prayed, give us this day our daily bread. So when we pray the Lord's Prayer outside of the liturgy, it might be helpful to recall the church's strategic placement of this prayer in the liturgy, you know, at this precise moment that it's placed, so that we might hold the church's prayers for unity and peace in our hearts throughout our lives. As we pray the Our Father, especially as a part of the Holy Rosary, we should try to be mindful of the full significance of this prayer and allow it to penetrate our hearts and our souls, and allow it to mold our own feeble prayers into the perfect prayer of Jesus Christ. And as we pray the Lord's Prayer, may we always seek to put it into practice in our lives as we strive for greater peace and unity around the world.